foot up on the little chair. Well, I just came along for the ride.
So, anyway, you know, I try to be mindful of the fact that as a minister of the gospel, that when I come to church, it's liable, I'm liable to be called on. And at the same time, I sometimes come hoping that I'm just going to be listening to somebody preach tonight. So that's the way we are. And I think that's not, I don't think I'm unusual in saying that. So if you can, I would like to turn over to a portion of Scripture first of all tonight that we find in the 4th chapter of the book of Mark. I want to read that because that's kind of the place where I want to, my mind's kind of circled up to tonight, is to go to a place that we find there in this 4th chapter and toward the end of it. I'll begin. I could go into a lot. I won't spend time doing all that. But Jesus had been feeding the multitudes, and it says in verse 35, "In the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." There's a point to be made, I think, with that as we kind of go through this. But he says, "And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep." He'd already told them he was going to the other side.
That's right.
So he laid down, took a nap. "And so he was asleep on the pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Yeah. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Amen.
What manner of man is this?" If that's my subject for the night, if the Lord will bless, and we could probably be here for a week, and we still wouldn't answer the question.
That's right.
What
that's
manner
right.
of man
Amen.
Is this?
Amen.
But I want to try to put a couple of things into context. I got my mind got stirred up back some time ago, and I got to thinking about. You know, I said, well, I've never really talked about the miracles that Jesus did. And so, you know, hey, these days we got communication devices. Anyway, so it was much easier just to type something in and watch somebody else's work come popping up. But it had the comment in there that, and then there's a little disagreement. I could see this. What somebody would call a miracle, somebody else might not. We may look at some of that. Lord bless us here tonight. But, there's some general consensus that like 37 miracles that he performed here during his ministry time on the earth. And I thought, you know, as we look at this, of course, the people break things down into various categories. There was healings, and there was all, you know, fed the multitudes, all these things that Jesus did. But my mind got centered in on this expression here. And then I began to think back a little bit too, and think about all the things that led up to Jesus coming here. You know, what manner of man is this that when some 4,000 years before the time that he ever walked on the face of the earth, before he was ever born here, in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis, there was a prophecy that he was coming.
That's right. Yeah.
There was already, I mean, they hadn't been kicked out of the garden good till the Lord is already prophesying and telling them, you know, that I'm going to put enmity between, talking to the woman now,
right?
Talking to the woman, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and his seed, talking about Satan, and said, and he's going, and thy seed, the woman's seed, is going to crush his head and he will bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. That's an unusual expression.
Yeah.
First of all, we'll just start with that. unusual expression, seed of the woman.
That's right.
All the time throughout, all the genealogies laid out in the Scriptures, it's always about the seed of Abraham and the seed of Isaac and the seed of Jacob and the seed of Noah and all those, the Old Testament patriarchs back there. It was the seed of the man because technically, that's where it comes from. Okay, that's where the seed comes from, and that's how the generations are counted as being from the man.
Right.
But this, so God, who tells the truth,
that's right.
Everything He says, you want to know what the truth is. Some of y'all were here back several months ago. I was down this way, and I was looking at that portion of Scripture where Jesus is standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate says, "What is truth?"
Right.
Standing in front of the embodiment of all truth.
That's right. Yeah, right.
And standing in front of him that is full of grace and truth. He asks, "What is truth?"
Yeah.
And so, so God has told us here in the very beginning of the books of the Bible that the woman is going to bring forth a seed. That's kind of, you know, as they talked about it down through the ages, that was a mysterious thing to those old Jewish brethren down through the ages. They didn't understand exactly what was going on and what was being foretold. But there were all kind of, you know, God kept laying out little hints here and little hints there. He goes on, we go on over to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. And he defines where that is going to come from. He then goes on and tells them that Abraham says, God had told Abraham, leave Ur of Chaldees, leave your family, leave all those behind and go to a place that I will show you. And he says, everywhere that the sole of your foot treads, I will give unto you. And unto your, you know, and the implication to you and to your family. Right? So we get over to the 15th chapter and Abraham says, Lord, I have no seed. Yeah. Right? And so God takes him out to the side of the hill. And if any of you have been out in the country, kind of like at Silver Springs, maybe when there's no lights anywhere out polluting anything, and where you can really see the stars of the sky at night, and see the Milky Way, and see how beautiful. And I want you to know this today. You know, they've got these new telescopes out there now, and they're saying what they saw with the Hubble was just a fraction of it.
Right.
There are multitudes of universes and universes and universes beyond all that they can see, because that's how great our God is.
Amen.
And so God walks out to the he takes Abraham out to the side of the hill. He says, Abraham, can you see the stars of the sky? So shall thy seed be.
Right.
Then he tells him a little later, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Right.
Abraham knows he's going to have children because God said so.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
that's really all he would need to know is God said he was going to have a family. We move a little further over. We'll turn over. So we get to the book of Isaiah. And then Isaiah defines it down a little more for us. And it tells us what this seed of the woman means during this time. We turn over to the 9th chapter of this book of Isaiah. And scriptures you've heard, especially around Christmas time, you know, people want to talk about the coming of the Christ child and so forth. And they'll read this. And it says, for unto us, verse 6 of the 9th chapter of Isaiah, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Amen.
Go look at that sometime. See if I'm not telling you the truth.
Right.
The kingdom shall be on his shoulder.
Amen.
That's what the word government means. Right. The kingdom is going to be on his shoulders. He's going to carry the kingdom.
Amen.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And he says, and the zeal of the Lord will perform it. He also tells us, I think in the 7th chapter of this same book of Isaiah, that a virgin shall bring forth a child during this time. So he begins to narrow it down. The seed of the woman
right.
is going to be the child of a virgin.
Yeah.
Oh, how can that be? How can this possibly be? Well, we get, you know, so hundreds of years, thousands of years are passing by, and they begin to, you know, they begin to think about be like John now, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison, right? And he knows Jesus because Jesus is his cousin. He probably seen him during some times, you know. And you can't tell me I've got grandchildren. Okay, you can't tell me that when they were around Jesus, they said, "There's something different about that guy."
Yeah, right.
Even when he was a baby, right? Something. What manner of man is this?
Right.
And so when he came to John to be baptized, we find it recorded there in the first chapter of the book of John. John looks at him, sees him coming. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, he declared who he was there that day. He knew who he was. And John later said, I must decrease and he must increase. His ministry was going to go past the side. He was the forerunner, the one that was prophesied there again in Isaiah. To be that forerunner that would go before the one that was to come. And he came and he recognized him. He knew who he was. But now John has been put into prison. And he sends his disciples over to Jesus and his disciples and said, ask him if he's the one or do we look for another? So sometime when you get doubtful...
Right.
Don't feel too bad.
Don't feel
so bad.
Right.
Jesus sent the message back to him. You go and tell John again these things. The same thing I do to you. I'm not telling you something new here tonight. I come to tell you again the things that you know.
Right.
And let us stand in awe of this one and ask ourselves as we go out the door tonight about our Savior, what manner of man is this?
Right.
Laid aside all his glory and came to dwell here on a sinful earth, a sinful planet around, you know, the Bible tells us over in the Old Testament that sin is a stench in his nostrils. It was offensive to him. He walked among the filth of this earth. That's us. And came to die for us. What manner of man is this?
Right.
But we, you know, if you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, the Jews seek after a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. They were wanting to know, what sign do you give us?
Right.
Well, he gave them all the sign they would need.
Right.
He said, there'll be no sign given unto you except the sign of Noah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall I be 3 days and 3 nights. In the heart of the earth. But that isn't all. He gave them that. He said, that's all you're going to get.
Right.
But he gave them much, much more.
Right.
Much, much more. So we turn over there. I want to turn over to... we can skip across a lot of things. You know, Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel told them exactly when he was going to come. He said, gave those 70 weeks a year shall the Messiah come.
Right.
During that time. And so all these things were laid out. They should have been looking for these things. All been pointing that way. So let's turn over to the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke. We turn over to the book of Luke. And we find there in the very, very opening chapter of that book. There's a young lady there. An angel of the Lord appears unto her. And tells her that she's going to conceive and bear a child. And that which be in her would be of the Holy Ghost. And she says, how can I have a child when I know not a man? She was a virgin. A virgin just can't conceive and bear a child. She conceived. There's life there.
Amen.
Everybody, we need to know. That's times we need to recognize what the Scripture's telling us. That she was going to conceive a child.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what she was going. She wasn't conceiving something.
Thank you.
She was conceiving a child there in her womb. And she was told that the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow her. And that she was going to have a child. And she marveled at these things. You know, God doesn't just leave her hanging out on the end. She was espoused to a man. And there was a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph's concerned. Joseph gets news that the woman he's espoused to marry is with child. And Joseph knows it's not his child.
Right.
And Joseph was thinking, what am I going to do? The law says I can have her stoned to death. But Joseph had too much of a heart for her.
Yeah,
he loved her. And as he pondered these things and thought about these things, the Bible tells us that while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so when the time came, well, let's go back one more. Let's go back into the book of Micah chapter 5. And in Micah chapter 5, it tells us there that this child, what manner of man has all of this written? Did y'all have all these things written about y'all when y'all were growing up? I don't care if it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump or the Pope. None of these men had anything written about them like this man did. Yeah. Foretold for years he was coming. Even prophesied what city he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Though thou be littlest among those, great things will happen there.
Right. Amen.
Well, they wasn't living in Bethlehem. They were in Nazareth. You want to know how God works things? Took an old cruel Caesar and called on him to call for the people to be taxed. And the people had to go back to the city of their fathers. And so Joseph and Mary, both being of the lineage of David, went back to the city of Bethlehem, David's city, to pay their taxes. At the very time that little child was dear.
Right.
He was born in Bethlehem. And you and I, you know, everybody will get ready. We got to have a reveal party. We got to put the pink balloons or the blue balloons or something out on the mailbox or on the door and let it... Oh, no, not for Jesus.
No.
The angels of the Lord, a heavenly host, appeared to a group of poor little old shepherds out in the field. And told and announced to them that day that a Savior had been born, who was Christ the Lord, and that He lay in a manger. And they went there and they worshiped there at that place.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't have to send out birth notices. God gave the notice.
Yeah.
It was His Son. God made the notice because it was His child. Isn't that great? So we get over to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus has been baptized. His ministries began. He's turned 30 years old. That's the age of the time when those that were in the priesthood would begin their priesthood. John had begun 6 months before him, being the forerunner, the child of Elizabeth, the one that was barren. And God blessed Elizabeth to have a child. That child that was going to pronounce that he was not the one, but there was one yet to come. So he came preaching. What did he come preaching? Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus begins His ministry, going to be baptized. And it tells us here that when Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, from being baptized, He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, command that stone to be made to bread. Okay, I know I'm looking on a I saw y'all earlier.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a bunch of folks that like to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. And you haven't had anything to eat in 40 days, and somebody comes along and tells you, I know what you can do. Here's how you can have some food. And Jesus looked him in the eye, I'm going to say. And he said, Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I would that every one of us knew that.
Amen.
We don't miss a meal.
Right.
We'll go out of our way to get a meal, but the word of God is just as important to your spiritual
right.
man
Amen.
As natural right. food is to your
Amen.
Natural man.
Amen.
And we need it.
Right.
We need it tonight.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we need it every day.
Amen.
We need the necessary things of God's Word. And the devil taking him into... what I'm getting at here and going through this portion of Scripture, Satan tempts you the same way today.
He does.
He'll get you more focused on food than the Word of God.
Right.
And you'll go out of your way, and all these things. God's Word's important to us too.
Amen.
So then the devil takes him into a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You think Satan didn't have power?
Right.
Satan has power, my friends.
He's
defeated, but he has power.
Yeah. Right.
When the Bible tells us he's this roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, my friends, it's no joke.
Right.
He was bold enough to go to the Son of God and tempt him there with turning a stone, which Jesus could have done in the blink of an eye, my friends, and turned that into bread. But he gave him back the Word of God. Now he comes and shows him all the kingdoms of earth in a moment of time. You know, Satan doesn't even have to show us the kingdoms of the world and all the kingdoms of the world. He just shows us a little glimpse of, look what you can be. If you just pursue the right things, if you just lay aside all this and press out there into this world, what you can be!
Yeah.
Satan's tricks haven't changed.
No.
And so he showed him all these things, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. And if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, giving us, what are we to worship? Who are we to serve? You know, unfortunately, most of us are serving ourselves because we're just like Adam and Eve. We want to see ourselves as be the God and not Him. And so we get to worshiping all kinds of things. But Jesus quotes this back. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give the angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, the other point I would make here is Satan knows Scripture too.
Yeah, he does. Right.
He quoted it to Jesus. He quoted from the Psalms. He quoted from other places. He was even there in the garden laying out some things. Hath God said, you know, tempting them, toning them. You know, God, sometimes we're toned by the things of God's Word by people.
Right.
And maybe
yeah.
even the thoughts of our minds and the thoughts of our hearts sometimes. You know, can that really be so? I'm going to tell you, as marvelous as these things we're talking about here tonight are, they're true.
Amen.
Every word, you know, and what manner of man is this, right? So Jesus comes, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt me. Don't try me. We're not to tempt him in these things. We're not to be. And Satan was tempting him there three times. So now we turn right over and he gets into the. So as it was his custom after these things, he goes back to Nazareth and he goes into the synagogue. They open up, they hand him the book of Isaiah and ask him to read. He opens it up. Just happens to open it up to this place. No, he opened it up to this place.
That's right.
And it says, the Spirit, and he said that, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down.
Amen.
Now, you go read that sometime over there in Isaiah chapter 61, and what you're going to find is he closed that book up and stopped reading at a comma
right
in between the first and the second coming.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Because the days of the vengeance of God were not yet come.
Amen. Right.
He stopped right where he intended to stop and stopped it right there. And then it says he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I mean, they were bug-eyed. You know, who reads something like this? And it says, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Right.
I'm the one that's come to do the things that Isaiah was prophesying about. People say, well, Jesus never really said he was the Son of God and the Messiah.
Sure.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I can show you other places too. Okay, you know, he says, I came into this world. He told Pilate, I came into this world. He said, I was a king, and I came into this world to be a king. Okay, to have a kingdom, but his kingdom wasn't of this world.
Amen.
All right, so. He testified over and over and over again who he was and revealed these things time and time again. And it says, as he goes on there, he says, and all them that bear witness wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?
Right.
They had seen him grow up. They had to have known there's something strange about this guy. I'm telling you, nobody would have been as nice, as kind, as caring,
right,
as loving, not out involved with things that all the other young kids were out running around doing. And they had to have known something was different about this young man. But when it gets to this, isn't this Joseph's son? And he said, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. It's tough at home.
Yeah, it is.
Tough at home. Jesus knew who the home crowd was.
Right.
He knew what he was up against. He knew that all they could see was Joseph's son.
Yeah.
He went to other places, and what they saw was a mighty man of God.
Yeah.
As he goes on, and as we go on through some of these portions of Scripture that are laid out here in this book, it tells us about healings of various peoples. We could go a little bit further. In the 7th chapter of this same book of Luke, Jesus meets a funeral procession coming out of a town.
Right.
He meets them. They've got the funeral bier up on their shoulders, carrying a young boy from Nain. And he goes out and he lays his hand on him. He had compassion because this was the mother's only child. And he was a male child. That even puts more emphasis on. And he had compassion upon her and laid his hand on the young child. And the child came back to life and went away with them there that day. Miracles being performed, healings being performed, all over the place. And you say, well, but up until this point in time, people were looking at this and they said, well, you know, we've seen healings before in the Scripture. You go back over to the book of back into the book of Numbers, and the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they began to murmur against God and against God's men and so forth. And God sent fiery serpents among them and bit them. And after many had been bitten, and no doubt died, the people came to Moses and said, "You know, help us, Moses." Moses goes to God. God says, "Here's what you do." So you take brass and make a brazen serpent out of it, and you put it on a pole and you hold it up before the people, and when those that are bitten look thereon, they'll be healed.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
So there was healing going on. There's other cases that we could give, but healing was going on. We could go back to a place in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we find a young man, find a man there who was a Gentile, by the way, a Syrian soldier by the name of Naaman, who had leprosy. And when his little servant, whose name is never mentioned.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. No name ever given to this young servant. She says, "We've got a man down in Israel in my homeland." She was she'd been taken captive up there by the Assyrians and led away. And she's, "We've got a prophet down there in our country that could heal you." So he loads up and he goes down into Israel. And he goes and sees this man, Elisha, down there. And Elisha tells him, "Well, all you need to..." He doesn't even come out to greet him, by the way. Elisha doesn't even get up. He just tells his servant, "Go out." Said, "Tell him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, Naaman was looking for something outstanding to happen.
Yeah.
And so he begins to balk at it. And the servant, his servant looks at him and says, "If he had asked you to do something great, would you not have done it?"
Right.
Yeah. He goes down and dips in the river 7 times and his leprosy's gone.
Right.
And then he comes back to Elisha and says, "Can I have some of this dirt? I want some of this dirt here from your country, because when I go back and I'm praying to God, I want to kneel down on God's dirt from God's man. I want some of this. I want some of this Israel dirt to carry back over so I can kneel down on it. I want to feel close to God. I'll tell you, do you want to feel close? Do you want to sometimes just feel so close? You want to just rip up some of the carpet, take it home, and lay it down at your house, my friends? Do you want to get that? Do you feel that fired up sometimes? Yeah. Naaman was that fired up.
Yeah.
Well, we go right there in the some of the same scriptures. I'll go back to 1 Kings 7:17 first, because that's the time when Elijah the prophet was in the country, and there was without rain for 3.5 years, and Elijah first had been fed by the ravens down by the creek side, but when the creek went dry, he sent him up to this little woman, a widow, this woman of Sarepta up there, who had a child. Of course, there's a lot we could talk about. You know, first of all, ravens don't normally take their food to some human over down by the creek side. God was working that, my friends, and all those things that are laid out in there. And we turn back over down and look at this. So Elijah shows up at the widow's house, and her son are about to take the last little bit of grain they've got.
Right.
And they're going to mix it with a little bit of oil that she's got left. And they're going to make them a cake. They'd already agreed, we're going to make the cake and eat it, and we're going to die. Yeah. And Elijah shows up down there and says, she says, "What will I do for you?" He says, "First of all, make me a little cake." Mm-hmm. And so let's be honest, right? At this point in time, she's probably thinking, well, you know, I can probably use all I can get here today. And so I'm not going to live anyway. So let me see if I can't help this man for just a moment.
Right.
So she fixes him a cake, and they eat. And when she goes back to the barrel, there's more grain in there. She goes back to that cruse of oil. There's more oil in there. And this goes on day after day after day. God's daily provision was provided to them. I'm telling you, I can almost see the little lady every morning. She's getting up and going, "He did it again."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's peeking in that barrel. Oh, wow, it's again, he's there. And so this goes on. This goes on for some period of time. Here, I'll make sure I get to the right place. And it says, "And it came to pass," verse 17 of chapter 17. "It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, and that there was no breath left in him." Now the little boy gets whatever happens to him. He loses his breath and he dies. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Now, she's seen all the miracles that's been going on there for her, for provision. And now she's suddenly thinking, "Why didn't you just let me die the first day I came in here? Did you come here to judge me after all this time?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom, and he carried him into the loft where the abode, and he laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" We've got the drought going on. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Did you also bring trouble to this little lady in this way also? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come to him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber to the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." So you know, we look at, so leprosy was healed. Snake bite was healed. People were raised from the dead. We could go over to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'd find another child over there that the little woman there had built a little shelter on the back of the house for Elijah. And every time he had come by, she saw him coming. She said, "Let us build a little shelter for that man of God to come and stay at our house." And they put a little bed, they put a little table in there, put a candle in there for him, and all these things for this man of God. And she had this child. God blessed her with a child. And then finally, word comes one day that Elijah's servant says, the woman's servant's coming. He says, "You go out and ask him if all is well." All is well. What about with the husband? All is well with the husband. What about the mother? All is well. What about the son? All is well with him. it is well with my soul.
Amen.
She was well no matter what.
Right.
Elijah went down there. They had his servant go in first. He laid his staff on him. Then he laid upon him mouth to mouth. And life came back. His flesh began to warm and he came back to life. So my point of telling some of these things is, healings, raising from the dead, these things had happened before.
Right.
A lot of people saw Jesus and said, "Why, he's a prophet." Well, they had good reason to think he might be a prophet. He was doing some of the same things some of the prophets had done down through the years.
Right.
But then we get to the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. And that little ship is tossing and he's laying back there asleep. And the disciples come to him and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You know, when Jesus speaks, you could be in the middle of a tornado, I think, You could be in the middle of whatever, a hurricane, and Jesus speaks and all would be well.
Amen.
They're in the middle of a storm. And these were fishermen. They knew what a real storm was on the Sea of Galilee, okay? And when the way the ship was tossed in, they got concerned. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he rose and said, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him?" They had never seen that before. They had never read anything like that before, because there was no man like that had ever lived before. He came by, he had prophesied for years. He was born of a virgin. He declared who he was there in the presence of his friends. And he worked miracle after miracle after miracle while he was here on the earth. And the people that he was particularly sent to at that time, the Jewish people, did to him exactly what they had done to the prophets down through the years. They rejected him. So I guess I'll leave y'all with this. You see what manner of man this is.
Amen.
I want you to see him on the cross too.
Yeah.
I want you to see him crying out, "It's finished."
Right.
As he bowed his head, and they didn't kill him, my friends. He gave up the ghost.
Right. Amen. Right.
A lot of church history, you go back and look. A lot of enmity between early Christians and the Jewish people, because they blamed the Jews for his death. They didn't read the scriptures which say it wasn't possible for them to kill him.
Yeah.
My friends, he gave up the ghost there that day. Now will I say that in their heart's intent, they intended to put him to death. Okay? And that's what they intended to have happen.
Right.
They didn't have the power.
Right.
They didn't have the power. Neither did the Romans.
Right.
Yeah. None of them had the power. And I tell you, when he told them he was going to come forth on the third day, he came forth on the third day too.
Amen.
My friends. This man, what manner of man is this? I would plead with you, not because I'm concerned. I know Jesus, my friends, has got your eternal destiny in His hand. Okay?
Yeah.
But for your life while you're living here, don't reject Him.
Amen.
Be amazed at Him. And be amazed to the point that you bow down your life.
Amen.
And worship the King. Because one of these days, as we were singing in that song earlier, one of these days the skies are going to part. And He's going to come back. And written on His thighs, there's not a man in this world, because He's King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
In Him rest all power both in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
Let us worship the King. May God bless you is our prayer.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Oh, I tell you, thank you for taking us along with the ride. We appreciate that.
God bless you.
It's been so good to be here tonight. We're talking about that temptation in the wilderness. How that the Lord was tempted of Satan to turn that stone into bread. And of course, you know, anytime something is Satan's idea, it doesn't matter how good and practical it may sound, it's a bad idea.
Amen.
The Lord knew that. But then you go a little bit further there in John chapter 21. His disciples were out there fishing. And there on the bank was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had poles there. And on that he had fish, it said. And he had bread. Now way out there in that wilderness by that bank, I can understand where he might have some fish. But where did he get bread from? I've just always, every time I've read that, I just imagine Lord Jesus Christ saying, you know what, I ain't going to make bread when you want me to make bread. I'll make bread when I want to make bread.
Amen.
And I can do it. He told those Jews in John chapter 6, he said, my Father gave you that true bread from heaven. He said, that bread of heaven is he that cometh down and giveth life to the world.
Right.
He's still the bread today.
Yes.
And you know, we've seen all this mention of all these prophecies and these miracles that all pointed to Jesus Christ, punctuated throughout thousands of years. And people say, no, that is just a collusion of men to come together to fabricate that story. Well, let me say this. If it's not so, if Jesus is not real, and that was truly a grand collusion throughout history to fool us to thinking there was a Jesus Christ, then you would have to own that that in itself would have to be a miracle. There's no way
Amen. Men
could come together through multiple socioeconomic levels, multiple kingdoms, multiple languages, different genders. I'm telling you, friends, throughout all these ages of time, for them to come together, and it all points to Jesus Christ, he, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. They all pointed to him.
That's why Jesus said,
John, I think it's 5:39, he said, search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. Isn't our God good?
Amen.
And we came here to worship him tonight. And we want the public to open doors in church for reception of members. And we're going to sing two verses of some hymn as we publish open doors. Sulphur Springs Church. If anyone feels a desire. Now somebody may say, well, you know, I want to join the church, but I don't want to join Sulphur Springs Church. Well, you come join Sulphur Springs tonight, and we'll letter you out tomorrow to whatever church you want to go to. We'll work on that. As we stand and sing, let me see, what? 441. 441, thank you. 441. Again, if I can get my pages unstuck. Master, the tempest is raging. Number 441. You may stand if you so desire. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Number 441. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing by, the sky is full shadowed with black death, no shelter or help is nigh. Terror shall not that we perish, how canst thou lie asleep, when each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the end. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Be still. Whether the wrath of the storm shall see, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They are sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Number 3. Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Her sun in the calm lake is big. Blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore.
The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still.
Okay. I've got some cards here. You preachers know what these are for. Yes. I want you to write down your name and your address for us, okay? Now, a lot of preachers get coy. And they say, I don't know if I need to fill one out. You know, I'm not worthy to fill one out. And all that. Look, if you don't fill one out, I know you're here.